A little while ago, I was at Glasgow University and had a walk with a robotic guide. Now, to tell us more, we have Professor Wasim Ahmed and Dr. Ola, who are going to tell us all about the project. Thank you very much for joining us. It's quite an exciting stage now.
Absolutely, Alan. Thank you very much for having us. We did our first evaluation with you and several other participants back in January 2022 at Fourth Valley Sensory Center, where we brought our Pepper humanoid robot and several people, blind and visually impaired, and technologists gave it a go. So I think that was an eye-opening event for us in terms of the acceptability and also the response we received from your community. It was really game changer for us. And since then, it has been very positive and very engaging. So we have been working with both RNIB and Fourth Valley Sensory Center and their participants over the last 2 years trying to develop this technology. So we looked at the dog robot that we had in our lab, and we thought, that will be interesting if we try to replicate the system from humanoid robot to the guide dog or a dog robot. It has been, and it looks quite promising. So the current state of the technology is that we have three main feature which we integrated into the Robby robotic guide dog. One is ability to learn the environment, the map out that environment, and then in a real time when the blind or visually impaired person wants to go from A to B, it can plan the path and can take the person safely and correctly. The second integrated technology is try to avoid the static obstacles and the dynamic, the moving objects, which are mostly more unpredictable. It can avoid that as well. The third and very important technology we integrated in there is the vision part. So the Robby, the robotic dog, can actually see in terms of through the cameras, and it can understand and recognize the environment and also recognize the objects. So it can describe the object to the person. It can read writing and the labels from the object. So that's very handy when it comes to trying to explain different things, such as the experience in the Pentarian Museum. The last but very important as well feature is the audio interactivity. So in that part, we managed to integrate the large language models into the system, where Robby, the robotic guide dog, can explain the environment and also can interact with the user. So user can ask generic question and also could ask us very specific questions related to the visit, like the experience we had it in Hunterian Museum, where they could ask about the artifacts in front of them.
We also have with us Dr. Ola, who's also involved with the project. A really complex piece of engineering here. We think about the simple task of us just moving around and avoiding obstacles and finding our way. How complicated is it to do something like this with a robot like Robby?
I'll start with the famous Newton quotes. We stand on the shoulders of giants. The theory has been on for decades, actually. However, the theory's limitation is key, and that's where we are building this technology from. GPS is the fundamental theory with which this works. It's used for navigation and for guidance. However, despite the advances in GPS technology, there is this drawback with indoor scenarios. GPS will not work in indoor locations. Consequently, we had to design a new type of localization technology. By localization, I mean the technology with which a robot will be able to find itself. We developed our own simultaneous localization and mapping algorithms where a robot can learn an indoor space. It will mimic the way humans learn indoor spaces. The way if I walk into a building that I have no previous understanding about, I have to read the signs. And by reading the sign, I'll have to learn where to go. And that's exactly how this robot works. It goes into an unknown space. it reads the signs. We call that process mapping. Then it relies on that knowledge to navigate that space safely. However, the indoor environment is also dynamic, meaning that people could be walking across hallways. People could be walking, you could shift a table or a chair from one point to another after it has done its mapping. And that is what we have also included in this new technology. It dynamically learns about its environment. So if there are these changes, it takes them on board and updates its map. And also, it has a real-time obstacle avoidance algorithm in such a way that even if the map is not updated, it will still avoid collisions with new obstacles in the environment.
When I walked with the dog, it was really unusual because it almost walked like a dog. You know, you don't have the wheels, and it was guiding me around obstacles. I could ask it questions. To get to that kind of stage has obviously taken a great deal of time. Safety, I suppose, must be hugely paramount. You know, that must be the sort of overriding thing here, and having a machine which people will put their trust in. Do you think that could be quite tricky?
It is indeed. We have been asking to ourselves, and we also raised the same question to our participants. And they said the trust-wise out of 10, they can trust our technology or Robbie in the range of 6 to 9, which was very surprising to us. And we had an incident even in the live demo when one of the blind person was using that robot dog. One of our technical assistant suddenly came in front of the robot, and robot managed to avoid it. It was so sudden that we thought it's going to hit, but it still managed to avoid the collision, rerouted. The whole thing was amazing. So that was very comforting. However, we want to make sure that when people are putting their trust into such a technology, it is kind of a very much reliable. It's more than it's a safety. It's critical, very critical. But of course, we need to make it foolproof before we are ready to give it to the end user.
Ola, what was it like watching people walk around with Robbie?
We spent years developing this technology. So although as engineers in the lab, we were able to test and try to ascertain how usable this technology would be, that does not in any way compare to seeing it used live by the participants during the trials. And it was the dream come true. It was excellent seeing them being able to navigate an unknown space, and more importantly, experiencing the Hunterian Museum.
You remember maybe the story we heard back in January 2022 from one of the participants. So he was mentioning that he went to grocery store, and he always used to pick up a can of beans from certain place, and he went there, but actually they changed the place, and when he reached home, he realized that it was not what he wanted to take it. So I thought, you know, we need to have that capability with the use and with the availability of AI technology and the machine vision, that the robot should be able to see and translate or read out such kind of things to the user. And again, if you are visiting an art gallery or a museum, instead of relying on a person, I thought it will be more appropriate that you are self-reliant and you rely on your assistive technology. And I can see that it will have a lot of potential when it will be deployed in the shopping center, in supermarkets, where Robbie can take them, read out the labels, for example, any allergy problems, the freshness of the fruit or vegetables and all these kind of things. And if they are going to the airport, then they can read terminal gate number, the counter, and such kind of information, very basic information, which is very crucial, very important to the user.
Ola, AI is obviously going to be a huge game changer, especially in terms of interactivity and the speed which the robot can react to things. The robot actually walks like a dog. Have you tried it on stairs yet, or is that another stage to come?
The reason we moved from wheeled robots to quadrupeds, four-legged robots, is because of this feature. It wants to be able to maneuver staircases and go up and down floors. But in its current form, that feature is not yet complete on the robot, and it's something that is yet to come in the near future.
something to look forward to there, Ola. Just finally, Wasim, what stage are we at the moment with Robbie, and where are you looking to take this? Because this is an ongoing piece of work.
Absolutely. This is a very important as well as exciting project for us and for our participant and user. And we want to take it within a year to a museum, and people come and can use it straight away or in a similar setting. And in a longer run, of course, we want to see it rolling out to major such kind of service industry as well as to individual if they want to take it to their home and their indoor and outdoor spaces and navigation. We are keen and we are working on the business model. Technology is almost there, if not 100%, 80% ready. We are not here to gain big profits and make money. We want to make it happen in a sense that it is viable for all parties. It's viable for people to use it. It's viable for the business to buy it and let it use for the blind and partially sighted community as well as physically challenged people. And for us, it will be a win-win situation if we can make it viable.
A hugely exciting project. I'm certainly looking forward to catching up with you a bit further down the road and having a walk with Robbie again. But for the moment, to Wasim and to Ola, thanks to both of you for joining us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you very much, Alan, and also your input is very important for us.
Thanks, Alan. And we've really enjoyed the valuable support from RNIB in developing this project. And we hope we can continue to count on your support when we want to do next trials.